Good morning, everybody. Excuse me. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. I am with you today for about 55 minutes. My name is Bill Surgeon. Most of you know that. I wore my special tie for my guest today, my American flag tie. I have with me today a guy who I have, I guess we struck up 8, 10 years ago, maybe. I can't remember a friendship. He does so much for veterans. And now it's May. At the end of May is Memorial Day. And as I was just saying to my good friend, Wayne Soares, is this. Maybe it's because I'm older and I have more time to reflect instead of running the rat race. Of those that I served with in Vietnam who didn't come home, or some who have come home and have passed from Agent Orange. Wayne has a new book out. I read the foreword. It almost brought me to tears. And I'm not afraid to. I'm an old man, crusty as hell. But I have a heart, contrary to some of you out there who don't believe that. But Wayne, welcome, my brother. Welcome. So I am so happy to have you on.
Oh, delighted to be here with you, my brother. Thank you very much.
Well, you have been behind veterans, doing things for veterans for a very long time. Give us a 30,000-foot overview of what you're about. I mean, you're about helping people, mostly veterans.
Yeah, I mean, thank you very much for that, the kind words. I've never served, but my veteran friends tell me that I'm serving in other ways with my veterans initiative, yep, and so forth. I got involved in supporting and advocating veterans back probably about 15 to 20 years ago. My cousin was a Vietnam combat vet, an Army veteran, and we just at an event, we went ahead and he just started talking about it. He felt comfortable, yeah, with me. And I'm sure, like many people out there, Bill, and probably yourself included, is my grandfather, who the book is dedicated to, is my idol.
Right.
And I really, looking back now, I kick myself because, you know, he was a CB they were the unsung heroes, yeah, of a lot of wars. And he did see some action where he encountered snipers and, yeah, things like that. And I kick myself. He just touched the surface when he had a few pops. And I kicked myself for not pursuing that, you know, even more and getting his story. So I got really involved because of my cousin Bob, and very, very quiet in demeanor, never a very humble man, never, ever talked about his service. And yeah, I started to storyboard one day. And I thought, man, yeah, you know what? I should be writing about these men and women, yeah, who served our country. And I did. I created Veterans Spotlight. My goodness, next thing I knew, I was writing, you know, this book, and looking back, and I've done over 700 interviews with the, yeah, men and women that have served this country. And some have been highly decorated, some put in their time, but yeah, everybody sacrificed and served at some point. So it really, really is it in a nutshell. I've been blessed.
Yeah, and you do it in a respectful way, but you also do it in a way to say, hey, Joe and Mary Sixpack, you need to listen to this, or you need to read this, and that's a talent in and of itself, Wayne. And I speaking for all the veterans you've interviewed and talked to, and my relationship with you, I value really highly. And I just think as we approach Memorial Day again, you know, I'll tell you a quick story. About 3 years, time flies. It could be five. I don't know. It could be, yeah, the last year. It could be yesterday. I can't remember.
It's all right.
I gave a Memorial Day presentation, commemoration down at Wakona Street at the Pittsfield Cemetery. And I acknowledged, starting off, Gold Star families, Gold Star moms, Gold Star dads, wives. And at the end of it, I was leaving, and this really older woman than me, and I'm, I went to school with Plato, so, came up, and she said, "Can I hug you?" And I said, "Absolutely." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "You are the first person, and I've been coming here many years." Her son got killed in Korea. And gave me a hug and said, "Acknowledge the Gold Star Moms."
Wow.
Because I think it, and you've done this with a lot of folks. It's a tragic loss. I think of the ones that'll be forever 19, 20, never going to get old, not like you and I, but those families, and I try to make this point, those families have had an empty chair at the Thanksgiving Day, Hanukkah, Christmas, birthdays. They never forget, no matter how long the person's been dead. And all the work that you do helps bring that out. So that my hat's off to you, kind sir.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Very kind again with the compliments. Kind of to dovetail a little bit from that story. I do a lot of work in entertaining with active military as
Yeah.
well and overseas. And one of the first experiences I had was Landstuhl Regional Medical Center. And we're probably looking at like 12 or 13 years ago. And one of the biggest things is you have to be, when you're on stage, you have to be funny. Okay,
Yeah.
you have to be funny. But my biggest thing, and I put it into my rider and make sure whenever we do
Yeah.
something, that I go into the crowd afterwards. And
Oh,
I say,
cool.
hey, Bill, where are you
Yeah.
from? Pitts, geez, I love it. Hey, Tim,
Yeah.
Sandy,
Yeah.
where are you from? I'm from, Alabama, whatever it is. Because
Yeah.
that to me is just as important, getting to know the soldiers, the men and women, and telling them, hey, we're proud of you.
Yeah.
Thanks for what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I had gone into to one of the wards, and I gotta tell you, between you and I and everybody listening, it's probably gonna blow the joke, but I steal a line from Bob Hope, which was just, it was so quintessential Hope. When I go into a hospital ward or a VA hospital, ladies and gentlemen, it's great to be here. Don't get up. And then you go into your spiel, and it's constant laughs. It's fun, it's humor to give those men and women that have been injured or had limbs or lost limbs, to give them, it could be 10 minutes, it could be 2 minutes, from the darkness and the misery that they're in.
Gone through.
So I had made a and it's to your point about the chair and remembering it at the holidays and birthdays and special events. I saw a young kid. He was 19 years old. We developed a conversation. He was a New York guy, and he had a Rangers shirt on. And I said, "Man, a good friend of mine's a Ranger Hall of Famer, Nicky Fetillo." I said, "He's." Oh my God, it's my dad's favorite place. So we developed, for the 4 days I was there, I made a point to see him every day. Well, I came in the last day to say goodbye when I was leaving. He had had he had been took shrapnel in his head. Well, he had a brain hemorrhage, and we lost him. And that really, I mean, it still gets to me, because that was my first experience with that. And I coming back in the plane, and it was just misery. And I reached out to a very, very, very good friend of mine, a Marine, Colonel John Saputo, and he wrote me a beautiful, beautiful note. And I said, but this, I just can't. I mean, I see that young kid, and he said, "This is what you do to honor him. You at special events, you toast him at family gatherings and holidays, toast him." So to
Excellent.
your point, that's exactly what I've done. And I want to say something too, is that for all the people out there listening, Memorial Day is not about the sales at your favorite store. It's not about, you get a discount for here. It's about remembering the men and women that have served our country.
You nailed it, brother. And you know, I see that every year, and I don't begrudge them for doing it.
Right.
It somehow takes something away from the purpose of it.
Right.
You know, I just think that more and more people, as Memorial Day comes, and now Vietnam veterans, you know, but for a long time, and you do know, for a long time, we didn't tell people because it wasn't worth it. Now,
right.
I have to share this with you. I was walking in one of the local big box stores, they call them, and I happened to, and I don't wear it very often, but I wear it during the month of April and the month of May, because those were two very, they were difficult times for me over there. So anyhow, I'm walking down, and this lady, I'm thinking, late 30s, early 40s, said to me, you should be ashamed. This isn't a month ago. You should be ashamed to wear that hat. You people over there, what you did is unconscionable. And I said, have a nice day.
Because, yeah, you did.
See, when I was in the police academy, they taught us you can't have a legitimate discussion with a fool or a drunk.
Yep.
So make up your mind what you're going to do.
I
made up my mind. I wasn't going to engage. I'm too old. I'm too fat. I'm too bald. And I just said, you know what? You have no clue.
Yep.
Maybe you read that somewhere or saw it on some radio station or television station. But a lot of us, and I'm still paying. Agent Orange has got into my lungs, so I'm done. But there you go. But your book, give us the title, please.
It's called Honor to Serve, and in their own words.
Yeah.
Serve in their own words. And it's just a compilation of some of the stories that I handpicked. And I wrote the gentleman that did a wonderful, wonderful job in framing this is a dear friend, Mark Lund. Mark, really, really, really. So many kudos to him for, you know, everything and the time and effort that he put into this as well. But mine were just the stories, and they range from World War II to present.
Yes, I saw that.
They're very, very, very powerful. There's one with a gentleman, Irv Talon, who was a World War II guy. He was in the Army. He, when they liberated the concentration camps in World War II,
yep.
He was on that detail, and he had to come in, and very powerful. The man never talked about it, ever talked about it, and he walked in with his commanding officer to where they would burn the bodies.
Wow.
And he walked in, there were still live bodies being ready to put in, getting ready to put in the ovens. And he still talks about, he said, my commanding officer stopped and whispered, my God in heaven.
Yeah.
And he said, the smell you couldn't get rid of. And this is a man that never, ever talked about it. And he finally, Bill, he finally released it. And I mean, he had must have heavy sobs for probably 2 or 3 minutes. And you back it, you let him.
Yeah.
Let him get it all out. A guy, a dear friend of mine, Barry Funfar. I think you might have met him at a screening.
I think I did.
At Proprietors several years ago, 127 missions as a door gunner in Vietnam. The average life expectancy as a door gunner in heavy combat is like 5 minutes.
That's exactly right.
Barry never, ever talked about his service. He had tremendous PTSD. He didn't know what it was, and he has now been able to see his putting it all on the line, talking about it, and getting it out, and talking about how he was with PTSD, how he treated his family. That's really helped him. And a good friend of mine, who's in my documentary, and you saw Colonel Doyle.
Yes. Yeah.
Combat veteran said you can never get full closure when you're a combat vet. You can try to get a little bit each day, but you're never going to get full closure. So every little bit helps you as you.
What is the saying? You may leave the war, but the war never leaves
you. That's right.
Yeah. And, you know, Wayne, the effort and the work that you have put in to acknowledging veterans, and I'll say this to the audience, you know, when he first started, there were still a lot of animosity for Vietnam, but it did not discourage this guy. It really, he embraced me. I can't remember. We were both kids then, in our 50s, but kids. But seriously, the work he has done, it deserves to be recognized by everybody, by veterans, but also by people who never served, because he gets nothing from it. He just promotes us. His book now is Honor to Serve. We'll talk more in a few, but if you don't mind, Wayne, could I just read,
please,
the stories who have served in the military are more than just historical accounts. That was the first thing that punched me right in the nose when I heard that. They are personal testaments to courage, sacrifice, and resilience. And this collection of interviews spanning from 1941 to today. Think about that, 1941 to today. With the lights in my eyes and my glasses, I'm half, offer a rare, powerful window into the experiences of veterans across generations. Through their voices, we gain insight not only into the battles they fought, but also the friendships they forged. And I'll make an aside here. I have never had, well, I was a police officer close, but never completely the camaraderie I had that I had with my fellow troops in Vietnam. I don't believe all the malarkey you read about race and all that, because I have to tell you, I was there for a full year and I didn't see it. Forged and the burdens they carried. And the memories, both harrowing and heroic, they have shaped their lives. And then history, and I'm kind of jumping around, folks, because I don't want to take Wayne's time, but this is so powerful.
Thank you.
This is the part of the foreword of the book. And the title of the book is Honor to Serve. History often captures war through the facts and figures, strategies and outcomes. But this book does something more. It humanizes military service. It reminds us that behind every uniform, there is an individual with a unique journey, a family left behind, a future, and a future forever shaped by their experiences. Whether these veterans served in World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Cold War, Gulf War, or conflicts of the day, their voices form a powerful chorus of sacrifice, resilience, and in many cases, healing. Now, I read the whole thing, and it left me just, it's a marvelous foreword, marvelous.
I have to thank my good friend, General Don Quenneville. He did it, and the big thing that I can say here about the general is he did that about a week after his daughter took her own life, and it was so just.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been a huge supporter of mine, I just that totally blew me away. I sat home and I read it, and it just hit me with such profound emotion. That wow, but yeah. You know, at the end of the day,
that's how it hit me. I was emotional, and you probably sensed even when I was reading it this time.
Yeah,
maybe it's an old man, I am an old man, and so I thank God for that, because I a lot of my friends never got the opportunity to grow old and have pains and aches and everything
that's right.
else. But
that's right.
The book goes, and I want to stress this too to the folks. You spotlight veterans in the book, Colonel James Tao, United States Army 52 to the 80. A lot of people, this is a book, if you want to know, I always have these people, tell me what it was like in Vietnam. Well, it was like today, freaking rain and rain and rain, and then more rain in case you didn't have enough rain. I always tell my wife, I hate rain. She said, if you tell me that one more time.
Well, I mean, because you were there, you lived it. One of the things too that I was very cognizant of in doing my interviews and preparing, researching, I wanted to be very, very, very thorough. I was at a place down the Cape several years ago, and I was at a bar one night. I was eating and having a drink, and I looked and I saw a gentleman that he came in and he had a brand new Vietnam veteran's
Hat.
and I looked at him and I tried to get his attention and I couldn't. And I was on my way to the men's room and I just said, "Hey, sir," I said, and this is a big thing with me. I don't. I think it's more important for our Vietnam veterans. And correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, that we say welcome home as opposed to thank you for your service,
Welcome home.
because you never got a welcome home.
No, we
You never
didn't.
got it. You get ridicule and scorn and abuse, verbal and sometimes in some cases physical. So this gentleman just started talking right away, and I found that the guys that were really there, kind of like yourself, don't talk about it. You might if you feel comfortable around someone, and like I'm honored that people feel comfortable around me to talk about it because I listen. And listen, and listen. And this guy just, I said, "Hey, welcome home, and appreciate it, sir." And he just rattled. He went on for 3 minutes, and then when we Took that hill at Khe San, and I'll tell you, boy, we lost a lot of men, and this and that, and I gave him I gave him a pass, and then I said, he brought it up again about the hill at Khe San, and we were there for 72 hours. And I looked at him and I said, "Hey, pal," I said, "Khe San was a valley." And he looked at me and he got 15 shades of red, put his head down. I was ready to take him out. By the time I went to the bathroom and came back, he had
He was gone.
paid his bill and left. That's one thing that goes right through me. Is the guys that have the stolen valor, the guys that have the 45 medals on, that talk about it right away. I'm not I'm not Columbo, but you don't have to be a genius to figure that out when a guy starts talking about it, because guys that have been there and lived it, like yourself, don't talk about it unless they feel comfortable.
True story. I worked with a guy for many years on the police department, and he was a Vietnam veteran, air police at I believe Tonsonute or Benoit, one of them, during Tet when I got hit.
And offensive,
And
right?
so I forgot how it came out, and he said, "Hey, I've known you for years. I knew each other before the police department." And he said, "I never knew you were a Vietnam veteran." I said, "I never told anybody." My brother, it was funny because this morning I was reminiscing. My brother passed just before Thanksgiving this year.
Very
And
sorry.
when I, and my older brother, and when I came home, he called me down into the cellar. Some people call it a basement. My father called it the cellar. So we got called down into the cellar. He called me down, and I'll never forget what he said, Wayne. And it's to this day, he looked me in the eye. He's the older brother, right? And he served in a guard. He served like 17 years in a guard. So I mean, they thought they were going to get activated to go to Germany, the Berlin Wall. So anyway, long story short, he looked at me, and never before have I ever remembered him doing this. He said, "Are you going to be all right?" Yeah.
Wow.
And I said, "Now that I'm home."
Wow. Wow.
So, yeah.
Power.
But where can they get this book?
It's available on Amazon. And if you would like a signed copy, you can go to my website, which is veterans-spotlight.com. veterans.com, veterans-spotlight.com. If you're a Facebook user, social media, you can inbox me. And is that you? I just see a picture of you.
Yeah, no, I'm just doing something. I didn't want. I'm also, I just I blurred the camera for a minute. There.
Oh, that's okay. No.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
But veterans-spotlight.com, or you can reach out to me on Facebook, inbox me, and go out and send you a signed copy. Father's Day's coming up. It makes a not to be on the the salesman, but it makes a great it makes a great gift. I really enjoyed doing this, Bill. It brought back so many memories. I mean, you look at I get emotional because a lot of the World War II guys. We did an event one day. This is probably about 10 or 12 years ago, and I looked around the room, and we had 14 World War II guys.
Wow!
And I mean, guys like Lieutenant James Canty. You had guys that were there. We had Army. Yeah. Guys, we had guys in the Navy that fought in the South Pacific, and now I was writing through this. I'm like, man, that my buddy's gone.
Yeah,
my buddy Jim Crossan's gone. My buddy Rico Giardina. Local guy Rico.
Yeah, it was great.
These guys are gone. But I say with great pride, and he's my buddy, and I got to give him a shot. People know when you say the word Frank, you think Sinatra. You say Dean, you think Martin. Around here, when you say Chizo, you say Masakani. My buddy Chizo, 102 years old. I try to spend as much time on a Saturday or a Sunday since I met him many years ago. Another great, great friend and an Army veteran who's the president, principal at Mount Greylock, Jake Schutz. He said, hey, there's a guy there. And at the time, Chizo was, 93, I think. And he said, you ought to think about him for your column. So, man, I'll tell you what, I met him, it finished, and we were off to the races. It was unbelievable. We become such great.
Yeah.
102, still all of his faculties. The only thing that is he's got no cartilage in his knees, so he's a little gingerly getting around with a cane or a walker. But this is a man that was at Pearl Harbor 3 months after the Japanese bombed.
Yeah.
He went from there to Saipan, where he was a combat veteran, and then he was 9 months on Iwo Jima, where he's got major. And his famous saying to me is, if you ever wanted to get killed at night, all you needed to do was get out of your foxhole.
That's right. Well,
and you know that too. That was it. But he's the oldest guy in the book. And on the back of the book, there's a wonderful picture of Chizo and I. And he's been a great, 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 great friend.
We're gonna take a break. Come back. I got a couple of quick stories about doing radio interviews with World War II guys that are gone now. I would get feedback from people saying, if all what he said was true, I should have been more respectful to my grandfather. Or, wow. I can't believe they went through that.
Yeah.
My thing was, they're not going to make it up. They're too old. And I don't remember where I parked the car, and they can remember Saipan. So there you go. Today I'm with you with somebody. In case you, I'm sure you can tell you if you watch me. I am so excited to have this guy, because we are laying the groundwork together, and I will continue through the month to lay the groundwork for Memorial Day. And as Wayne pointed out early on, great, take advantage of the sales, do all, but don't forget the Memorial Day parade in your town. The commemoration to those who gave their all. And remember their families, because they never forget them. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. We'll be right back. Stay tuned, please.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Want more confidence using technology? PCTV offers free classes to help you navigate the internet, protect your privacy, and use your devices with ease. Whether you're a beginner or need a refresher, we've got you covered. Sign up today. Call 413-445-4234 or visit pittsfieldtv.org. Empower yourself with digital skills because everyone deserves to stay connected. Brought to you by PCTV and the Alliance for Digital Equity, keeping communities connected.
Every Sunday night at 10 p.m., something strange happens to the airwaves of WTBR-FM. It's called The Mix. It is an experience like no other on this part of the planet. Witness a collection of fresh and classic beats that are guaranteed to make you move. The best part is, it is mixed completely live, uncut, unedited. So, for an exciting end to the weekend, tune your radio to WTBR-FM Sunday nights from 10 to midnight for The Mix.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right. The guy you see there, the good-looking guy, his name is Wayne Source. He's an author. He's an actor. He's got all these. He's done all these things. Former ESPN radio broadcaster, he also goes and entertains the troops. Now, I'm going to tell you from my own experience, he's no Jane Fonda, in case you couldn't tell.
More like Henry.
yeah, more like Henry. Yeah, or Henry Ford. But anyhow, Wayne, when you're overseas and it's the holidays, or even if it isn't, when you're overseas and you got the Bob Hope show, or you got somebody else, some other entertainers that the military brings in, you don't know what an uplifting thing that is.
No.
Really don't know what an uplifting thing that is. Why? Because you sit there and you remember home. And you may be sitting in a dust-filled, dirt-filled bowl with machine guns all around, to hear Bob Hope and Raquel Welch and all the rest of them. They were big-time people that you probably don't remember because you're too young. But really and truly, it's what Wayne does, and Wayne has been involved with veterans. He's done documentaries. He's done so much. And he has a new book out. It's called Honor to Serve. And I can't say enough good things about the. I haven't read the book, but I read the foreword, and that left me. And for some of you, will go, no, that's impossible. That left me speechless. So Wayne, and you can get the book on Amazon and all that. What was the most challenging part of writing this book?
The most challenging part, I think, for me was the interviews.
Yeah,
with these people, and not getting emotional at all. I mean,
yeah, I'm not good at that.
Vietnam veterans, and you talk. I just finished a column, my veteran spotlight column, on a gentleman who was a Vietnam vet, and it had actually lost a friend that he went through basic with. He was an Army vet, and they had to go into Khe Sanh to help the Marines at the time that were having trouble. And his friend got shot in the face and basically died. You know, he died right there in his arms. And he said, I probably had about three months left to go before I went back to the world. That's what I
learned. The world.
The world. Everybody that was back in Vienna said, I got this time to go back to the world. And I asked him, how about that? That's a question I ask everybody that I've interviewed. You know, what were the holidays like? He said that basically everything was the same. He said all but one. He said it was we had Hope. He just talked about Bob Hope and Raquel Welch. And he said Bob Hope came in and he had Phyllis Diller. And he also had Kay Stevens. And he shared a story. He said, I wasn't going to go, but I figured, what the hell? I'll go and check it out. And he said, I'm so glad I did. He said, Phyllis Diller was an absolute riot. She was with around a bunch of guys. And they told her they said, come on, Miss Diller, you have to leave. And she turned around. She said, I'm not going anywhere. She goes, somebody get me a drink. She goes, one of these SOBs is going to take me out on a date.
Yeah, I can see it.
Right there, right? And everybody laughed.
Yeah.
They said Kay Stevens couldn't have been nicer and more outgoing and genuine with the troops. And he said the thing that got me, he said, when Kay Stevens at the end of the show, they brought her out and she sang Silent Night.
Oh, yeah.
He said, I bawled like an absolute baby. He said, but for that hour that I was there, he said, it was the reprieve that I needed.
Yeah.
To get away from that darkness and that black hole and the misery that I was in. And he said this, I'll never forget it. He said, I didn't feel like a human being when I was in Vietnam.
Sure.
He goes, I didn't. And to be able to talk about that and to get it across. And what I can't stand is when people say, to somebody that's active military or veteran, well, you know, I was away. I spent, you know, Christmas Eve on duty or day. Oh, I know how you feel. No, you don't.
Oh, you
don't. I can say it honestly. I was overseas 8 years ago and I was there from the 26th and I came back the 22nd and I came back on the 26th.
Wow.
There for Christmas Eve and there for Christmas Day doing shows. And I'll tell you, your adrenaline just takes over because I was doing a lot of shows, every day and meeting people and you got to be on and you got to, you know, they don't want to see you get emotional. They don't want to see you cry. They want laughs. That's what they want. You want to bring them the joy and the laughter. And when I get back to the place I was staying, it just hit me, and it hit me on the ride home of, wow, I had this 72 hours where I missed Christmas Eve. I missed my family and Christmas Day. And these guys are over here in a combat situation.
Yeah.
I'm blessed. I'm
now, and you know, speaking, just going back to reminiscing a hair a bit, I used to interview Chet Stuckloser. Chet was a relative of my wife's, the Polish princess, and Chet was at Pearl Harbor when it got hit with his three brothers.
Mm.
And Chet and one of his brothers made it. His other brother got killed a week before the end of the war.
Oh, wow.
So Chet lived with that, but he would always be honest and say, you know, my brother who got killed was a great guy. And, you know, and he would go on and what it was like that morning. They didn't know what in the heck was going on. thing bombing and then another guy, I used to call him Wild Bill. But he really was a deacon in our church. Deacon Bill Moseley was at the Battle of the Bulge.
Wow.
And I want to tell you, when I would have him on, he didn't pull any punches. He said it was cold. The Germans were hell-bent on killing us all. Mm. And he said we just stuck it out and sharing ammunition from clips. They didn't all have, before the clouds lifted and they could get resupply. So those are the kinds of things that you've captured by your interviews. Because people, people will share with somebody. I share with only people that I think are truly interested in. I did a party one time, and a guy I never cared for that much in high school anyhow, he come up to me, and he could have been a big, super jock. But he couldn't get into service because he hurt his knee.
Jeez.
So, like somebody else, but his was his ankle. But anyhow, I went in and he come up and it was inappropriate as hell. Was it a celebration kind of thing? And he come up, he goes, "Hey, I heard you're in Vietnam." And this, I had only been back a couple of years, so I was, as I told the guy at the VA one time when I went in, he gave me some first time. Went into the VA in Northampton, a big fat guy there, and gave my name and my last four, and the Polish princess was with me. He goes, "Oh, you're Vietnam? Oh, sit over there, keep your mouth shut. We'll call you when we want you."
Unbelievable.
And I said, dude, I didn't have a long fuse before I went to Vietnam. I don't have any fuse now. when you listen to them, and you actually, and that's where I applaud you, Wayne, so much. You listen, and you hear the emotion, what I call the hidden emotions. I was out with a guy that was in the Gulf War, and he, you could tell he just wanted to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
And he said, "My war was a sand war. Yours was a jungle war. But people got killed no matter what the war is about and where it is."
That's right. And you were, and Vietnam was a war that basically you weren't prepared for that type of war.
No.
You weren't prepared for what you guys had to go through in the jungles and everything like that. One of the things I want to mention too, that I'm very proud of. We've got some local people that are in there as well. Chizo Masticone, Mr. Oji, Bernie Oji.
Bernie Oje,
yeah.
Dr. Bernie Oje.
Doctor, yeah. I was right at his house doing his interview.
Oh, great.
Amazed, absolutely amazed. He almost threw me down the stairs because I came in with a Boston College sweatshirt.
Oh, God.
And he's a big Notre Dame guy. And 101, he almost threw me down the stairs. I said, "All right, I'll take it off. But no, I kid. Dominic Sandrini, Marine. Yeah. Dom is in there. We got some guys from North County. Dave Levesque is in there. Mike Lewis, good friends. Mitch Keel, Marine. So we just tried to include. As many as we could, and I'll give you a little bit of a tidbit that we can't say off the record because we're on air, but I'm already storyboarding and working on book number two, Honored to Serve Part Two, and I get a quick plug in for our Vietnam Veterans documentary, Silent Dignity, episode one last year, we won an Emmy, and episode two, we are just in the middle of final production and editing. For that, and I'm producing that with the great award-winning Golden Globe Emmy award-winning Armand Asante, the actor. So we're very excited about that, and we are focusing on Agent Orange and PTSD. I personally think we could get two or three shows out of that, but we've had to kind of condense it into documentary form. But I'm very, very excited, very excited about that.
Well, I'm going to make a political statement. I don't usually do that, but it's about the former administration under President Biden, and that is the PAC Act. So many of us with Agent Orange exposure have been battling to get the VA. And I will say this for that Congress and that administration, they passed the PAC Act. And that's all these toxic things in the air. With Agent Orange from the Gulf War, they were burning the oil pits and all that stuff. And now we're finally getting some health care and recognition, not recognition, but health care. And for some of us, it's pretty late, but it's better than nothing.
Long overdue. One of the things that we're focusing on, and I actually met this young lady. Her dad did three tours in Vietnam, Sergeant John Diachi. And he had come back and he had brought the Agent Orange gene with him. And he had a son when he got back, and then Ashley was born 10 years later. She actually she got that gene from her dad. Her father had, in the last 5 years, there's like 7 horrific cancers attributed to Agent Orange. Couple that with the PTSD that he had. But Ashley, she got that gene. And this young girl at, I believe, late 30s, early 40s, is it 17 operations in the last 6 years attributing to that. She's trying to be an advocate of the children with Agent Orange. She's getting nothing. She's getting crickets from the government, but she is a major feature. It's a very, very, I did the interview with her. It's very, very powerful. Her health is deteriorated. She's in a walker now, soon to be wheelchair. She has any sudden turn of her head can cause an aneurysm in her brain. She's got special rings that she wears on her fingers because they become disjointed. Horrific. And this is what we are trying to, what we're trying to do is bring recognition, and we're trying to bring a focus on our veterans with Agent Orange. My cousin, who I talked about, said that they would go and they would use Agent Orange in the big drums, and then they would put them up on a stanchion, fill them with warm water, spick it in, and then you
shower.
Go and shower.
Yeah, no, I know.
I mean, I know. Of course you know. I mean, that's just, I can't believe the carelessness and stupidity that went into that. I've interviewed guys where they would be at attention during roll call, and planes would come over, and they'd bring, and the mist would get in their eyes and their lungs. And
I was in I Corps with 101st, and on Ho Chi Minh Trail, the Ashaw Valley. Actually, when I put in my paperwork, I got an official. I went to an Agent Orange briefing at the VA many years ago, arranged by Jim Clark, who was our
Clarky. Good man.
Yep. Oh, he's worth my weight in gold.
Yes, love you.
I submitted it, and they had areas that were dots, and where I was a black dot. Because they spray day and night. So, there's a guy here, and I'll get you more information. His name is Tony Salentino. Tony Salentino is 102 years old.
Mm. Mm.
He was in the medical corps at Normandy.
Wow.
Yeah. Myself and several others got together and got him a citation from the city.
Nice.
And you remember Smitty Pignatelli?
Pignatelli, sure.
Yep. He got him a citation from the state. So, but he's as lucid. He's probably more lucid than I am, but that's not saying a lot. But honestly, you should chat with him because
he's
a beautiful, wonderful man. And right now I'm working through Congressman Neal's office to try to get him somewhere along his 102-year life. His World War II medals disappeared. So I'm trying to get him his medals for him, but because of the fire in St. Louis, but he's got his discharge. I don't know what the holdup is, but I'm working on it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Talk to him.
Good for you. I would love to. Yes, I would love to. You know, there's somebody else that I have been trying to track down for several years now, and he keeps, you know, I think I might be able to crack that safe. But he's a Vietnam veteran, combat veteran, a dear friend. I love him. Love him to death. And I've been trying to get him for an interview because I think it would be wonderful, not only for, you know, his family, his kids, his grandkids.
Yeah, yeah.
He does a maybe you know him. He does a radio show in Pittsfield.
Tyrone Ballinger?
No. This guy used to he studied at the police academy, and he used to be a policeman. Now you see him, he's bald, he's got glasses, and what the heck is his last name? It's he's named after a last name like a fish. Not salmon. There you go. Yeah.
Sturgeon. That's my name.
Bill Sturgeon. Yes. That's a guy that I would love to. I love to put pen to paper.
Yeah. Old fat ball guy. I know him.
I didn't say fat ball guy. I said ball guy.
I wouldn't mind about that. But the old part, like somebody said to me, you're nothing but an old man. I said, that's kind of offensive. And she said, what? I said, calling me old. you'll get a kick out of this, my friend. You can use this. All this pronoun stuff now. What's your pronoun? Oh. Even the doctors ask you. So I went in and they said, what's your pronoun? I went, oh. F-B-G. And the lady said, what does that spell? I said, old fat ball guy. And she didn't think it was as funny as you did. She said,
oh, no.
This is serious. Then I went, yeah, right. But
yeah, but I'm waiting. You kind of, you know, you did a nice Fred Astaire on my question there. And I'm waiting
hey,
for.
Hey, this isn't my first rodeo. Believe me, I've been doing this. I think I did tell you, a lot of things. I'm getting old. The bottom line, and a lot of health issues, and just I've been doing it for over 20 years, and I've cut back as of May 1st. I do shows, but they only air on Monday and Tuesdays. So I Zoom record them as we're doing today. Mm-hmm. And this will play a week from Monday. So because I want to get it close to Memorial Day. Mm. I wanted to capture you because you're a busy guy, too. Mm-hmm. And to me, somebody has said this. In the past, and you illustrated it, we lost the purpose of Memorial Day. Mm. We, you know, and it bothers me.
Mm. But yeah,
not
me too.
So much for me. I made it, but for them who gave their all, and most especially now, for their loved ones that are left and their friends.
Right. You That's know? Right. That's right. It's a day that should be a solemn remembrance to those that we've lost.
And yeah.
My good friend Colonel John Saputo, he put it extremely well.
Yeah.
It's a solemn day of remembrance. Yeah. And you know, we need to get that little check. You know, we gotta check ourselves. Not about the sales and the store hours and out and getting stuff. I mean, we had many hundreds of thousands sacrificed their lives for this country.
That's exactly
And
right.
if we can't just take a little bit of time.
Yeah.
I'm doing a beautiful. I've been very honored. I've been asked by the Williamstown American Legion. I'm going to be their guest speaker on Memorial Day. And I have a wonderful tribute.
Oh, cool.
It's called a tribute to the American soldier that I do. And then I also... Cool. Do their little bits and pieces of and it's under America the Beautiful, and it's about the men and women that I've had the honor to interview. And we do that through the whole presentation. It's about 8 or 10 minutes, but again, I'm just very, very, very honored to be able to participate and to be able to give back a little bit and like I say, pay tribute to the men and women that have served this country.
Well, Wayne won't mind if I do this. This is an important announcement. To all veterans and organizations and participating groups from the Veterans Coalition, Memorial Day procession ceremonies and ceremonies, save the date. And that is May the 26th. The parade will start at City Hall Plaza, and then it will move down 70 Allen Street, 9 a.m., and proceed to the Pittsfield Cemetery. There will be a ceremony arriving by approximately 8:45. If you're going to march, those days are gone for me marching, but get a hold of Jim. And again, I say this, and Wayne will back me up. Grandparents, parents, bring your kiddos.
Yes, yes.
Patriotism, I say this every year, patriotism is a learned trait.
Yes, well put.
And my Irish mother, God love her, take us by the hand when we were kids, and down to Wacona Street we'd go to watch the parade.
Yep.
And we never missed it. Never.
Wow. Wow. It's when you talk about the historical perspective, my friend, you know, a lot of people that have read this have said that we really need something like this in schools.
Absolutely.
We need young kids to go ahead and to learn about all facets from World War II
right.
to present. And that's I'm very honored and proud that they would be able to say that. Another thing I'm very proud of is what we Mark Lund, who's
right.
who helped me out in the book, we came up with is a portion of any book signing that we do or proceeds
right.
whatever goes to a certain veterans organization. We just presented the first check to the American yeah. Legion Riders a couple of weeks ago
here in
North Adams. So we will continue to, you know, to do that.
One last announcement, then we're going to have to go. I hate to go. I could go another 2 hours with you, but
me too, my friend.
This one is important for the station, for PCTV. We are having again Eats a Pizza. That's at Berkshire Hills Country Club, Thursday, May the 15th, 6 p.m. There's a bunch of things going on. This fundraiser for the nonprofit TV station and her sister radio station, 89.7, that you're watching right now, boys and girls, and WTBR-FM. Here are some of the people. KJ Nash Catering, Locker Room, great pizza. All the old cops meet down in the locker room every quarter. Papa Joe's, Papa John's, Portavina, Shire Tavern, and Zuko's Family Restaurant, as well as music and other things. Please, please support this if you can. And also, lastly, we've got St. Mary's Bingo. We got it coming up now. St. Mary's Bingo, one last time, June 14th. Don't marry. It's a help to support St. Mary's School, which you all know I'm committed to doing. Wayne, let's catch up, brother, and you can buy the coffee because you're wealthy.
Yes, yes, and I will have a I hope my ex-wife's not listening to the show.
Oh, no. Yeah, yeah. Well,
listen,
I'm only kidding.
From the bottom of my heart, thank you so much. You're such a dear friend, and you are a great American and a patriot, and I applaud you for what you do for all of our veterans. You're that type of guy. Nah. Not a flag waver, but you know what? When you say you're going to do something, you do it. You brought me into your friendship circle. I'm extremely honored, and I have a book for you. So when I see you,
you're the best. I don't care what they say. I'll see you at the hairdressers. As I say,
thank you so much. God bless you, my friend.
You stay right there for 1 minute. As I say every time in closing, and I know I just got another email the other day from somebody that doesn't care for it. God bless. And I mean that. God bless. And let's remember today, let's try to lift somebody's burden. Lift it up. Make them laugh. Give them a call. Visit them. Say something nice to them. We're all in this together, and we all need each other. Sometimes more than other times. God bless. Wayne, you're the best.
You're my man.
Stay care, brother.
And, you too.
Folks, we'll see you when we see you. That's an old Vietnam saying. See you when I see you. Bye-bye.